Good evening. This is Fire Shut Up in My Bones. I'm host of this program, Darren Mortley, co-hosting with my dear father, Mr. Mortley. Today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic: should politics and religion mix? All right, Dad, take it away.
Okay, well, that's a very common question and misconception throughout this country and among Christians, especially. Christians and non-Christians are like, I don't like using the word Christian sometimes, I say God's people.
Right.
Right? And unsaved people, whether politics and religion should mix. Now, let me subtract the word religion from out of it and call it biblical Christianity, because you have all kinds of religion out there, you know. Should Islam and politics mix? Mm-hmm. Should Buddhism and Islam and politics mix? Okay, I rather say, I just use the word religion and politics because that's a commonly used terminology.
Exactly.
But let me say, should biblical Christianity and politics mix? Okay. And first of all, you cannot subtract the two, because we get our foundational laws to protect humanity from the Bible.
Right.
Right. So when someone says they should not mix politics and biblical Christianity or quote unquote religion, it is utter nonsense. You can't subtract that from it, because the founding fathers of this country came here, the Puritans, they came here, they set up the United States of America, and it's from the Bible they got their laws that govern this country, okay? So that's how this country basically what was established. Now, when you subtract God laws, okay, from politics, what do you have? Okay, first of all, in the Castle Doctrine itself, it comes from Exodus chapter 22, if you want to look it up. Okay, that's where we get some of our basic laws from. Okay, foundation of right and wrong came from biblical Christianity.
Right.
Okay. Now, what we're experiencing now is a spiritual issue, because if the politicians do not get themselves deep into a spiritual issue, then we as Christians are going to basically zero in on those very same spiritual issue that affect us. So go ahead and look up Exodus 22. You have something about when someone breaks into your home, okay, if you can find it.
Exodus 22, what?
I forgot the exact verse if you wanted, but I don't know, is it in Exodus 22?
If a man be found broken up?
Mm-hmm. Okay, from a thief broken into your home. Okay,
I can find it.
Okay, so that's where we get our foundational laws from the Word of God. And to say that religion, our biblical Christianity, and politics should mix, it is, to me, that's basically some of these liberal Christians use a cop-out, because they don't want to address the issues of the time, because basically they're liberal, mm-hmm. and they're running away from God. Go ahead and read that.
So it's Exodus 22, verse 8. If the thief be not found, then in the master of the house shall be brought unto judges to see whether he have put his hands unto his neighbor's goods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it.
I think you have to probably start from I said Numbers 22.
Yeah, you're right, Dad. It's Exodus chapter 22, verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that real quick. I read the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him.
Good. Basically, that what was that is addressing long time ago is the Castle Doctrine that this country basically supported in some of these states. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are states in this country that does not recognize the Castle Doctrine, which it means that someone breaks into your home and you kill him, the person basically is defending themselves. Okay, I'm just using that as an example of where we get our foundational Christian laws in this country, which mm-hmm. basically comes from God himself. Laws. Now, when you have laws that contradict God's law, it's not a law, okay? And in some places that they're going to charge you for murder. There's an incident that Chris Pinto mentioned when I was listening to Magnolia's of Thunder, that where someone end up going to jail and facing life imprisonment because someone break into his home and he killed him, right? The other thief end up spending a year in jail while the person, the owner of the property, end up looking at life imprisonment for murder, okay? That is wrong, okay? Now we as Christians, we look at that, I would say, hold on. What's the problem here? Why are we having all these oppressive laws in our country? Right now, America is facing a lot of oppressive laws. And when the Christians speak out against that, then here people are trying to shut us up by saying politics and Christianity is mixed. Now, it get to a point where Pat, they have some law. I think it's called the Johnson. It was the Johnson Amendment. I'm trying not to misquote. It's the Johnson Amendment, where it says that pastors should not endorse a certain political candidate from their pulpit. I completely disagree with that, because pastors is our shepherd. God put that man exactly. In charge of us, to lead us, to direct us. That is the purpose of the pastor. Okay, now you that is filled with your Holy Spirit should know when you have a dumb pastor on the pulpit.
Exactly.
Okay, that because he's the pastor, you're going to follow him blindfolded. Okay, now when is it Johnson Amendment?
I don't know what law that's talking about. Right,
mm-hmm. I think that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, the Johnson Amendment, right? When it's to me, that's that kind of law is to silence pastors from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. I don't care what nobody says. Okay. And I think that should be repealed. Okay, I don't know why all the pastors all across the country sat down, and some of them seem that they agree with it.
Right.
But yet, you have people like Al Gore, when he's running for office, he was in some of these Methodist and Baptist, liberal Baptist churches. Hillary Clinton find herself in some of these in these churches up there. If she's there and she's on the pulpit, what do you think they're doing? They're endorsing her.
Right.
Okay. But if it's an independent, fundamental pastor, might have a very strong political candidate, Republican, conservative, everybody's going to be up in arms, okay? So this idea that religion and politics doesn't mix is a way of shutting up the independent fundamental Baptist churches and other conservative Christians all the country. Basically, it's their way of silencing us, and that should not be allowed. I think if I'm a pastor and I'm supporting the pulpit, yes, I'm going to say, hey, do not vote for this individual because he's a baby killer. You know, vote for this, and then they're afraid to mention his name. But I'm not going to would not be afraid to mention his name.
Right.
Okay. If he's a sodomite supporter, he's for sodomite marriage, and I'm going to say this person should not be elected. Matter of fact, he shouldn't be allowed to run for office. I'm not care about being silent, because that's basically what they did. They allowed the camel nose under the tent. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are you going to have next? Gestapo, secret police walking in church and monitor what you said. That's wrong.
Right. And if they don't speak out, even if you're not a Christian, you're not into a certain type of religion, we have parents that still are on the coattails of morality that was passed down in America. For example, the bathroom bills that they passed out, right? They endorsed the wrong candidate. And he said, okay, a young boy who thinks he's a woman can be in the shower with a female.
I'm glad you mentioned that the bathroom bill. Now, if once again, if politics and religion mix, what is going on right now? That is considered a political issue,
right?
But it's also a moral issue.
Right.
Okay. That is eventually going to visit the church. What are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. When Christians don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when Christians go to make sound, what are you going to do? Just go to church and just read one verse, and you jump up and down in the church and run around and yell amen and sing all kinds of hymns and have rock bands on the pulpit, and it claims that you're having church. No, you're not having church.
Right.
I don't know what you're having. That's now a social club.
Right.
Okay, the pastor, the deacons, the laymen, and anyone that calls themselves a Christian should be able to refute this issue and discuss this issue right there in the church, because when we are silent, the very issues that we are facing that is out there is going to eventually affect the church.
Right.
And lo and behold, here comes, you invite someone to church, And then he thinks that if he gets up some morning and he feels like a girl, okay, and walks into the girl restroom when he's actually a man. What are we going to do next? We're not allowed to say anything? No, that is wrong. It's time for us to speak up and do something about it. And the problem over the years that we've been having is liberal Christian going out there and voting for liberal candidates. And let me address another issue, what I've seen in the churches. I'm 57 years old. I've been attending church since I'm a teenager. One of the biggest mistakes the churches like ours have made, they send everybody, and I don't care who's going to criticize what I'm about to say, but I know I'm right. I'm not afraid of anybody anymore. I never was afraid of anybody. When you walked away from the country, from our community, then everybody sent everybody to Bible college when they didn't even call to preach. I believe if you are called to preach, you go to a proper Bible college. And people, matter of fact, if you're called to preach, matter of fact, if you call yourself saved, a born-again Christian, you should be preparing yourself by reading your Bible and going to Sunday school and prepared to meet anybody out there and give them the gospel.
Right.
Okay? Now, for proper training education, yes, I endorse good Bible college.
Right.
Right? Go to Bible college and come out and storm hell with a water gun if you have to.
Exactly.
But when you send everybody to Bible college, we step away. We step away from the political arena. Look who's running. Look who's running the public schools. Look who is in judge. Look who are the judges, the professors. Christians abandoned it, and now the godless people have taken over our country. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they're the ones that make up these rules, and Christians accept those rules. Christians and politics shouldn't mix. That is wrong.
It's going to affect us.
It's affecting us right now.
So, like, you basically already covered what I had in mind. How influential do you think religion is in politics? You mentioned morals. That's a big part of it. Can politics run successfully without religion?
No, it can't. Okay. Chris Pinto mentioned something like this, okay? Mm-hmm. He said in the 1800s, the 19th century in this country, an atheist was not allowed to testify in court. Mm. They believe that if you don't have strong Christian morals, how are you going to make judgment?
Right.
Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, okay? And a lot of people think that it talks about a Christian suing another Christian. That's a part of it. But he believes in that now is the time to step up and make proper judgment, okay? And if you don't, if the Christian foundations get breaking down in this country, what we'll have is unrighteous judges. We are having nothing but unrighteous judges right now.
Right.
Okay?
There's a verse about that.
And then what they do is make laws that contradict God's laws and make interpretation of the Constitution. It's basically we get our foundation from in this country to have godly laws.
Exactly.
Okay, they corrupt it, and now you have nothing but atheists and God haters, basically, that are judges, that are lawyers, that are politicians, and that's how we are today.
Like Dr. Fenwick, he said the exact same thing you're saying. He quoted Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Exactly. What's 1 Corinthians said? Found it yet?
1 Corinthians, and what's the verse?
Chapter 6.
Mm-hmm. What's the verse?
Let's read from verse 1.
I got you. Mm-hmm. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?
Okay, stop right there. You know what he said? Oh, dare any of you, okay, I have an issue, and you go before the unjust. What he's saying that, how are you going? I honestly believe if the person doesn't have a good biblical foundation, that person is not going to make a good judge when it comes to right and wrong. Our foundations of right and wrong come from God. Laws and the Bible.
Right.
And if the person doesn't have that, it is not going to be capable of making proper judgment. Look what we have today. How is it that you have a Supreme Court that says that, okay, for two men and two women, two men to get married, two women to get married. It comes from being having the unjust people running our country. Exactly. And that's where that came from. Why is it that we cannot find a Bible-believing Christian judges to be on the Supreme Court?
Exactly.
Something is utterly wrong with that.
Right. Keep reading.
Keep reading.
And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Yep, right. Yeah, you can stop right there. He's saying brother against brother. Right there, he was talking about Christians suing each other. But I do believe what Paul was also saying is that it's his righteous people should be in the position of judgment. Right. If you look back in the book of Judges, okay, and sometime in the book of Psalms, David referred to said that they are gods. He's talking about the people that are lawyers and the judges.
Right.
Okay. But yet they fail to judge righteously. And it's a dangerous thing when we basically jettison the laws of God and put godless people up there. And that's, once again, it's all about biblical Christianity separate themselves from politics. Okay. Right. Okay, Darren, what is the definition of politics?
The definition of politics, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, the science of government, that part of ethics which consists in the regulation and government of a nation or state for the preservation of its safety.
There you go.
Peace and prosperity.
There you go.
Comprehending the defense of its existence and rights against foreign countries or conquest. The augmentation of its strength. This thing jumped on me. The augmentation of its strength and resources and the protection of its citizens and their rights.
Okay, good. Now, if that's the definition of politics, where do we stand today as a country?
It seems like our rights are being trampled upon.
Exactly. The border's wide open. Are we being protected?
Right.
Okay. All across the country, they are coming with laws of ability to own a firearm. Therefore, they're taking away your right to self-defense. Mm-hmm. Okay? Is that safety?
No.
What kind of government are we having?
Now you can pepper spray sometimes.
Exactly. So there you go. When it said politics, and once again, I'm harping on it, the fact that how dare you to say that politics and religion or biblical Christianity shouldn't mix. The mere fact that you cannot separate the two, okay?
Biblical religion fuels morality to guide politics. Without it, everyone's going to be doing their own thing.
Exactly. Okay, anybody out there, feel to call in and give us your opinion on this issue. Okay, give us a call. If you disagree with us, tell us to disagree with us and why you disagree with us.
I'm going to add on to your point previously about the gods. It's in Psalms 82.
Mm-hmm.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. So that's little g. It's talking about judges. How long will he judge unjustly,
mm-hmm,
and accept the persons of the wicked?
Yep.
Okay. Selah. Selah means to think about it. I mean, are we seeing that today?
Big time.
Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. You know, you were mentioning that thing about that tax. What is it again? The inheritance tax.
Mm-hmm.
Defend the poor and the fatherless. So, like you mentioned to me earlier, they'll tax the inheritance. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, they have that where the federal government tax your inheritance 54% of that. Okay, that is wicked. Okay?
Right.
That's legalized theft.
Exactly.
I don't care. Nobody says that is legalized theft. Okay. And aren't judges supposed to predict that from happening?
Right, according to this chapter that we're in.
Exactly.
And it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness.
There you go. That's the root cause of our problem. These people are in complete darkness.
Right.
Okay. Spiritual darkness.
That's why, like you said, they sent everyone to Bible college. And
you know, Darren, I look at what's going on in this country, and I see some of the things that are happening, there's an incident up in Michigan somewhere where a pastor's counseling these lesbian and trying to tell them, you know, to get out of that lifestyle. They're suing the pastor.
Or the dude in Canada. He's in jail.
You know, I mean, we laugh about it, but right. It's not a laughing matter, okay? Why? Because we are in complete darkness, okay? You have this administration now, this I call them the illegitimate, I don't know if I said it right, administration, okay? And now, what's the number one thing they said we're facing? The number one problem we're facing, white supremacy. Here you have this so-called critical race theory being taught in public school. That is communism being taught. It's stealth communism.
Right.
Okay. They did that in China a long time ago in doing the purge, the communist purge. But it wasn't critical race theory. It was class warfare. Mm-hmm. Oh, the rich man is your problem. The rich person next door is your problem. I have people telling on each other. Just like you have people telling each other because they have too many people in their homes. You know, I'm going off topic, but it's basically piggybacking on the same issue about religion and politics.
Okay? Exactly.
When you separate the two and saying that the Christian wasn't saying anything, must speak up from the pulpits. Because when the pastor doesn't do that, not allowed to do that, then his people in the church will go out there and basically ignorantly vote for the wrong people. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. Okay, when Obama was running for office, I can take it to my former church, and two people in there bragged to me how they voted for Obama. Okay, I looked at them as if there was something wrong with them. Okay?
I'm like, what were you doing in church this whole time? You're actually...
And sadly, one of them is someone that I really look up to.
That's sad, man. You're touching on one of my other questions that I have. You know, you mentioned China. So my question is, here's another one, right? This is a very common one, all right? So you remember when Thomas Jefferson said separation of church and state. What did he mean by that? Yeah. And do you think people are misusing that today?
First of all, it's nowhere in the Constitution, okay? Mm-hmm. People say claim that's in the Constitution. It's nowhere in the Constitution.
Right.
That's a known fact, right? Separation of church and state. I forgot the name of the church. I think Danbury or Banbury Baptist Church. I forgot the name of the church. I look it up. Okay. And what they were worried about is are we going to have a state-run church? Okay. Or is the church going to influence? I'm trying not to misrepresent it. He's saying what was happening, like in England, you have the Church of England.
Like Isaac Newton.
Exactly. And basically, with Thomas Jefferson was addressing the fact that the church, okay, is going to be run independently and run the way they want to be run, mm-hmm. not by what a politician says.
Right.
That's what's the idea of separation of the church and state. The separation of church and state means that the church or the members should not be a part of politics.
Right.
Okay, that's the biggest misinformation going on right now. There's no such thing as separation. And now today, they think separation of church and state. They use that, and that's where ignorance comes in, where in public schools, you're not allowed to pray or read the Bible, okay? They're not representing a particular church, mm-hmm. okay? What they're doing is exercising their religious freedom to worship God and to pray in anywhere they wish to pray.
Right.
Okay. This separation church and state does not mean that public schools should not have prayer. Why is it? The question is this, right? When Christmas rolls around, everybody is offended because of the a statue of Mary and Jesus. We call it a novelty scene.
Right.
Okay. You're not supposed to have a Christmas tree anywhere in public. Why is it as on Christians they're focusing on?
Because he exists, God exists.
Okay, why is it the scripture? No, why is that? Okay, and the question is this: everywhere you go into the world, the people of that particular country can worship whichever God they worship.
Right.
Why is it here in America, Christians that founded this country is not allowed to practice the religion in your country?
We're under attack. That based on what you're telling me, that Johnson Amendment thing, that's that's an example of politics trying to control what the church is trying to say.
Big time.
And it's against the our First Amendment.
And then threaten them to about the tax issue. Okay, threaten them about the tax issue if they endorse a candidate. I think if a church wants to endorse a candidate, you should be able to.
Right.
They should say, okay, let's vote for this person for the state of Maryland. Let's vote for this person for the state of Texas. Let's vote for this person all across the country. The church should be able to say so.
Exactly.
Why the church should be shut up.
Right. Because you know they're influential in moral things. They're trying to push immorality. You know, it's a war. All right. Here's another one. I thought this was very interesting. What countries have completely separated politics from religion, biblical religion, and how do they fare today?
What countries? Communist countries.
Communist countries.
Okay. Case on point. China. And then Bush with his crazy self over there during the election time, in during the Olympics in 2012. So we come back and said, religion, the church is thriving in China. No, that's propaganda. They show you one church with a bunch of people in there. What was being taught from the pulpit?
Right.
Okay, those churches have to have a license. Do you know that there were secret letters, a message came out of China during that time? Said how Bush really betrayed them.
Mm.
Because while he's doing that, the true Christians, the true pastors in China were being tortured at the very moment he spoke.
Wow.
True story.
North Korea. They'll get killed. What we're doing here?
If they get caught with a Bible, they're going to jail.
Yeah.
Okay? If they get caught with a Bible. Matter of fact, if you read these young ladies In Order to Live, she said her daddy used to have her memorize Bible verses and write them down. True story. And those people in that country, they give you an idea what goes on in those communist countries. People are suspicious of each other. For example, we're hearing you talking right now, okay? She said in her country, someone from next door or someone who's in charge of watching people in that neighborhood along your street would sneak in by the window and listen to what you're saying. And if you're saying something about the president, or anything that they do not like and consider you an enemy of the state. Next thing you know, see a car pulls up and take one of you away because of what you said. And you wonder, okay, what's going on? Because
right.
Someone was outside of your window listening. Okay. That's a country that has no religious freedom. They hate God. And the people in this country are suffering in concentration camps as we speak.
Right.
When you have a nation without God, a bunch of people running the country that are godless, wicked people. That is what you have. You have suffering. What Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice.
Right.
Or when the wicked bear to rule, the people mourn. If you people think that I'm lying, anybody who is listening, take a look at those countries where God is not allowed in the country and see how those people fare.
We can even go further with this. Like that guy that murdered people for smiling. Oh, what country was that?
Pol Pot. That's in, I'm laughing about, but it's not even funny. That's in Cambodia.
I mean, absolutely godless. No light of the gospel in that country. So they do just crazy
even
stuff.
Even today, there's light of the gospel. There are Christians there, but if a missionary goes there, he has to sneak in and sneak out.
Right. Like, look at this. Like, that country's a hellhole. Right, I'm not cussing. It's
I mean, they killed 3 million of their own people.
Right,
3 million of their own people. They talk about a mean, wicked 12-year-old girl will walk up to an adult and check the person's hand, and the person's hand is not rough and callous, which is an indication of working. If your hands are too smooth, they kill them. Okay, if the person wears glasses, he's dead. If the person speaks French, he's dead. Anyone that was considered educated is dead. Now that's what happened. Stupidity, a godless nation, stupidity takes over, okay? Blindness takes over. And what we have, bloodshed.
Like I mentioned, hellhole, the wicked shall be turned into hell.
And all the nations that forget God.
Psalms 9:17. So we'll probably wrap it up here if there's anything else you want to say, but I'm going to read these quotes by some of our founding fathers about our Bible. So this is Benjamin Franklin. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. Here's Thomas Jefferson. I have always said, and I will always say, that studious perusal of the sacred volume, is referring to the Bible, will make us better citizens. Here is George Washington. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. There's a group out there trying to say that he didn't say that.
Those are what you call that, and that's very dangerous, because that's what you call studio history. Mm-hmm. At this very moment, you know, like the lady says, she sees the same thing going on in America that took place in China. All this stuff about changing the names of schools and trying to change your history, that's dangerous. That's mm-hmm. wrong. And that's important for people to be properly educated. I'm a big advocate of homeschooling, because I don't think you can right now change the school system, okay? You cannot. Right now, you're going to need a miracle. I do believe that people should take their kids out of public school and properly homeschool them.
Right.
And preferably, I would recommend a Becker Academy, because they will give you the true history of this country and teach your kids morals and most important thing, to make sure of your salvation. But here is a famous preacher that was responsible for the Second Great Awakening, what he says about Christians and politics and how they vote. Mm-hmm. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Mm. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. Christians seem to act as if they thought God did not see what they do in politics. But I tell you, he does see it, and he will bless or curse this nation according to the course they, the Christian, take in politics. So when voting, no vote should be cast solely on the basis of any party. The values of each individual candidate must be examined using the standard of biblical righteousness cited by Frederick Douglass, the principles of Christianity are cited by Robert Brown Elliott, and an awareness that voters will answer to God for their vote, as pointed out by Charles Finney. Charles Finney was also a part of the Underground Railroad that assists black slaves from escaping the South. Okay? And he's made this statement during the time when people must choose between who they're going to vote for, Lincoln or the other person. And he's basically, now if you're going to vote for the other guy who's for slavery, then, and you call yourself a Christian, then he's saying, don't you think God see your politics and how you vote?
So in other words, you're going to be judged for that.
And these people at the time were preaching from the pulpit.
Right.
And now they said that politics and religion should mix. And what they're trying to say is the pastor should not preach about who you vote for. I think every pastor should ignore that and vote. And preach with fire from the pulpit about how Christians should and should not vote.
That goes right along with what pastors were saying almost 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Even now, it doesn't matter what, if you have a D by your name or R by your name, mm-hmm. if you're for murdering babies, you don't have my vote. And the Christians that, like you said, you're shocked at some of the people that vote for Barack Obama, mm-hmm. Someone that is heavily supporting Margaret Sanger's death camp, if you will, the Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And they're going to get judged for that. So.
Okay. Then probably that's it for today. No one called us, but that's fine. But there are people listening.
This is Fire Shut in My Bones. We'll try to do programs like this maybe every Friday or every other Friday. So thank you for joining. Hit end.